for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 5th, 2004. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister.
Thank God again that He has us here and we're going to be equipped for the ministry He's called us to. And as we discussed earlier, we're going to share a little bit about the curse of the bastard. And I would like to suggest that you consider Carl and Paul's book on the curse of the bastard. It's a very good book. And y'all heard of Brother Carl speak the last couple of evenings. And I'm positive you will be blessed by this. And he also has a tape on it. And I would like to encourage you, because his book goes into far greater detail than the paperback that the Lord placed on my heart. In January, I left the camp here and went back to Beaumont, and I noticed that there were a couple of families that were not present. And I said, God, you know, what's going on? And I said, one of the children I helped put to college, fixed cars. I took one out to the neurological center with a nervous breakdown, labored with them for some of them for over 10 years. One of them had 30 seizures, never had another seizure after they came under our authority. I said, but they just walked out, and I was wounded for about 3 months because I didn't know what had happened. They wouldn't return calls. They wouldn't accept my emails. I said, well, maybe a wolf came in when I was gone. You know, I didn't know what happened. You know? So I was searching myself. You know, I was really searching hard and searching hard. And so the booklet that I put together on the bastard came out of a burden because of some people that, because of a lack of knowledge on my part, on the knowledge of the ministry of breaking the bastard curse, I was not able to reach them and teach them the Father's blessing or how to receive the Father's love. And I will go into it in a little bit more detail in a moment about what took place in that time. So mine came out of a burden, and the Lord said, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to show you what the problem was. The problem was that they didn't have a relationship with their dad. We spoke a little bit last night about authority, and one thing I can tell you about authority is that spiritual bastards will find it very difficult to submit to authority. Y'all look refreshed. I'm glad the Lord let us do it today. You know, you look all refreshed and hungry, and that's good. The curse of the bastard is very unique. There are many believers around the country, many that are in the church today that are suffering from the bastard curse and don't even know it. The curse can go undetected for a lifetime because of a lack of knowledge concerning this subject. Now, I have, let me just make this statement here. Also, any booklets that I have written or that are in the process of being written or donated to Lake Hamilton, and that we don't have this one out right now. It's in the press, and they're doing that, and they should have them, I would pray, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm certain that Patty and Krista could take orders if you're interested. But all of it comes here, and we don't receive anything out of it except the blessings from the Lord. Amen? Because you're looking at a guy that had the bastard curse on him, 12th grade education, and all I wanted to do was be a failure. I liked belittling myself and all these other things when I was growing up. I took offenses very hard. I mean, you could just say, hey, I said, God, do it. and so we're very privileged right now to be able to give. And many of the family dysfunctions that are occurring within the church today is due to this curse. A lot of mental illness, a lot of emotional problems, and some physical illnesses can be attributed to this curse. One thing is clearly evident in the scriptures that concerning the resulting curses on the children or the descendants of those who have a bastard curse is that the descendants or the seed had a total disregard for the house of God. It's just like they're not just connected. You ever been in service and, man, look at your salvation is going forward, and people are just quiet, and they're saying, come forth, receive Jesus, and this one hits for the bathroom, this one goes for the water fountain, this one sings the keys. Just a total disregard for what's happening in the anointing. I try to explain why that's going on. One thing that we can find in the scriptures when you study about the bastard curse, that they disrespected order, they disrespected its leadership, and most importantly, they disrespected God's authority. So I pray in this brief teaching or this brief writing that to uncover the workings of this principality and to expose the possible operations within our lives, that we might begin the process of becoming free. Amen? In Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, we want to read the first three scriptures here and pray for an understanding. He that is wounded in his stones or his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. The bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation, shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Also, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even until their tenth generation, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. It was an ancient practice. Now, looking at verse 1, it was an ancient practice among many pagan nations for the children of the heathen deities to become eunuchs, for the parents to intentionally mutilate their children, and they were training them for a possible priesthood or for services to kings or great men. So in verse 1, God forbade the mutilation of the children in Israel. As no animal was fit for sacrifice, it was not perfect, if not perfect, so no man was qualified to enter the congregation if mutilated. This was God's method of preventing castration of male children in Israel. Now, there were five classes of men that were not permitted to enter the congregation. They were men that were wounded in their stone or testicles, castrated. Men with their private part cut off. Bastards. The Ammonites and the Moabites. Those are the five classes. Now, there are several definitions of bastards in the scriptures. This is very unique here because one of them caught my eye some time ago. An offspring of a Jewish father and a heathen mother. How we parallel that today in the spirit is very unique. An illegitimate child. One born out of wedlock. A person born of incestuous mixture. In verse 4, it includes here the, in verse 3, it includes the Ammonite and the Moabite. Were also forbidden from entering the assembly of Israel because they showed no mercy to Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and because they hired Balaam to curse Israel. And who are they? The Ammonite and the Moabites were the descendants of Lot as a result of incest with his daughters. So that whole nation and that nation continued to bear the bastard curse. In Genesis, the 19th chapter, verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelled in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the man of all earth. This is your scripture reference for the Ammonites and the Moabites. I'd like to continue. The word congregation in the original text means an assembly of people for religious worship. We are the congregation of the Lord. So in the congregational meetings around the world, I think it would be fair to say there are many that are not connecting, that are not growing, that are not maturing, that are not becoming disciples. Even the statements are coming from all over. I'm in, but I'm not receiving. I can't seem to grasp. There seems to be a dullness. I'm not catching on to the things of God like I should. They may be in the attendance. However, the curse upon their lives, the bastard curse, is forbidding them from being able to benefit from the truly participating in worshiping God. For a bastard cannot enter into the worship of God, into the 10th generation. Well, in the Old Testament, the bastards and their seed were not permitted into the worship. In the New Testament, through Jesus Christ and the dispensation of the Spirit and the Spirit of grace, all are invited to partake of Jesus to receive the eternal benefits of the cross. In Proverbs 25, I shared that scripture with you a little bit last night. In Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter." So scriptures are very clear that believers must work out their salvation with fear and trembling. We must allow God to receive glory as we search out the matters and the issues of our heart. The bastard curse is a major issue. It is a major issue. And many are suffering because it has not been dealt with in their lives. Many are not even aware of the presence of this particular curse, biblically or ancestrally, in their lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 12, speaking of the body, For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being member, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The scriptures show us how the body of Christ is constituted. Jesus is our head. The Spirit is the agent that brings one into the body of Christ by the new birth. That being so, why is there such a great number of members in the body of Christ with difficulties accepting their usefulness? Individuals that are having a great difficulty in worship and feeling accepted as a member of the body of Christ, I believe, could be under this bastard curse. Remember in Deuteronomy 23:2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Is there deliverance? Jesus Christ in Galatians 3:13 has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree." So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bore this curse when he hung on the cross, gives us the deliverance, gives us the victory, but it's not automatic. We have to appropriate the finished works of Calvary. We have to appropriate God's word in our life. And the question might be, what do you mean? Did Jesus also take the bastard curse to the cross? And I'd like to look at a scripture reference here in John, the 8th chapter, as Jesus was ministering here and the contention of the Pharisees and Jews that were confronting him. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 30, it says that as Jesus was speaking these words, that many believed on him. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, the believers, "We are Abraham's seed." Well, we got some unbelievers in there. "And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed." I know that you are a Christian now. And you're not concerned about those things that happened before marriage. Well, I don't know. I added that. That's written according to Jim there. "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and they said unto Jesus, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Did not Abraham? You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to Jesus, "We're not born of fornication. We got one father, even God." And it's clear when you study the references that the Jews understanding that Joseph was supposed to be Jesus' daddy, and Jesus said that Father God, Jehovah, was his daddy. The Pharisees and the Jews accused Jesus of being born of fornication. They was calling him a bastard. Therefore, there's liberty at the cross for all born illegitimate. And the result of the incestuous mixture, might have had 400 years ago, I don't know what happened when they piled us all off the boat. Jesus took the bastard curse to the cross for you and I. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's interesting as we look, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, but I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures because I think we're all familiar with this. In King David's sin, in 2 Samuel 11 chapter, we find that King David conceived the bastard. The results were murder to cover it up, death to the child. Okay? This one act of sin affected his descendants. Nathan the prophet came to David and told David that God would have given him more wives, but to take Uriah's only wife was very evil. And then God placed a sword in David's house that would raise up evil against David out of his own house. Okay, so here are the results. David's household, or David's seed, results were murder, incest, rebellion. David's firstborn, Amon, raped his half-sister Tamar. That's in 2 Samuel 14. Her brother, a few years later, Absalom, killed Amon in revenge, and Tamar was left destitute. Absalom, the usurper, took David's wives in the sight of all Israel, and much more evil was done by David's son, Absalom, where we get the name of usurp authority. 2 Samuel 16. And of David's first six sons, Amon raped Tamar, then was murdered by Absalom. One by the name of Chibad, C-H-I-B-A-B, has no mention other than his name in the scriptures. Absalom was rebellious, a murderer, attempted the murder of his own father, was murdered himself, and his name, once again, means usurper. He tried to steal the kingdom. Adonijah plotted and also attempted to take his father's throne when David was on his last illness. And Sephatiah and Etham had no mention of their names in scriptures other than the names mentioned one time. Okay, so now, these three, the three A's, Amon, Absalom, and Adonai, had total disregard for God's house, order, and authority. Total disregard. The other ones, there's no remembrance of them at all, period, just cut off. When a bastard is conceived in lust, it's not love. It's a fling of the night. It's a fling of the day. But it's not love. True love is protecting. True love is providing. And there's a life that manifests there out of that conception. And that life, it wants protection. It wants covering. Neither is present when a bastard is conceived. It's just a fling of lust and a fling of affair with nothing other than that, no accountability whatsoever. So the demons of lust will follow the children of the bastard curse in that family line and continue to reproduce itself, if not dealt with in Jesus' name. It's going to continue to reproduce more bastards, family and personal rebellion. Then there's sicknesses associated with this curse, murder. Delinquency means a criminal, the criminal aspect of behavior that leads to prison and things like that is going to be more prevalent in a bastard. Mental illness. The inability to feel welcome or even at peace in God's house. I know we have all met people that have come and said, I just feel like I'm not connecting to the Lord. And that's fine because they need a little prayer. It could be a cult background. It could be the bastard curse. I don't know. Each case is unique. But I do know that they're going to have an inability to feel welcome in God's house in the presence of God. Also, the bastard... the victim that's with the bastard curse can be a controller, try to control things around their lives, and they'll pass these type of evil spirits on to their children. And this will continue on and on because of the rejection spirits operating within their lives. The issues due to offenses, they become easily offended very easy. I think in Luke the 17th chapter, it talks about offenses. And it says that the little children are easily offended. So we need to grow up. All are going to be offended because the scripture said we can't avoid being offended. But Jesus stressed in 17 that the ones that get easily offended are the little children. Not babies, but babies in the Lord, in that particular category of offense. So, bring them on. I don't care. Let's have it. Because how are you going to grow if you don't have offenses? So it don't bother me now. I mean, when I had, I said, well, okay, Lord, I got to go deal with that one. I don't be thinking about we need to get rid of that one. And so there are spiritual bastards are being manifested as a result of not being able to to deal with the offenses, not how to give the offenses to God. Carl mentioned that the other night about offenses, and I just jotted them and added them to my notes. And so next printing, I'll keep that in there if you don't mind. But that was the truth. He was right. Like I say, his material is far more great in detail than mine. And so offenses are there in the bastard's life because they don't really have anyone to turn to because the absence of the Father's covering is not there. And so they grow up totally independent. So do a spiritual bastard exist in the church? Yeah, I believe they do. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 6, Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, one needs to really look at this because it is the will of God that we go through chastisement from God. God loves us. Now, there are several reasons why God chastises us. Well, I'm going to give you the scripture. In Job 33, one reason is when men refuse to hear, you're going to come under chastisement of God. In 2 Samuel 7:14, when they commit iniquity, you're going to receive chastisement. Psalms, the 6th chapter, verse 1, and chapter 38, verse 1, when men provoke God. Psalms 89:30, when they forsake God. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 32, when men refuse to judge themselves. Deuteronomy 11, chapter, verse 2, Leviticus 26, 14, and Numbers 14, when they stubbornly rebel. And in Galatians 6, 7, when men sow to the flesh. Hebrews 12, 5 through 10, when his children need instruction and correction. Also, you'll find that in Revelation 3, 19. So these are several reasons when and why God chastises his children. Spiritual bastards do exist in the church. Many times the individuals cannot because they've never had or never knew their fathers, or they knew their fathers and they never honored their fathers. It has resulted in a spiritual blindness and an emptiness when they come into to salvation. And they have a difficulty with understanding submission to authority. So you'll find that performance will manifest quickly in their character, trying to find love and trying to be accepted instead of entering to the rest of the Lord. In Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, it says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In every area you have honored your parents, it's going to go well with you. In every area where you have not honored your parents, it's going to go bad. You say, well, I didn't know my dad. He just had a fling with my mom. My mom said, we don't know where he at. He gone up. Still your dad. God used him. You here praying in tongues, serving God. He said, well, I don't know him. I never knew him. Trying to tell you, Lord, thank you. Blessing for the seed. Don't know him, but bless him. Never met him in my life. Mom said, we don't know where he at. Never seen him again. That's okay. God, thank you, because I wouldn't be here. And my seed would be blessed. It would not be for that man. Some people can't do that. Also, after breaking the curse on the spiritual and a natural bastard, we must invite them back into the congregation of the Lord. They can also repent and confess of the sins of their forefathers and ask God to invite them into the congregation of the Lord themselves. In Genesis 25, verse 27, we see Esau. The scripture says that the boys grew and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man. He dwelled in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. I love deer too. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was faint. Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint, I'm weak. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I can tell you that many are in the church selling their birthrights today, no differently than Esau, and losing their inherited spiritual blessings. Esau committed fornication against God. He took his inherited rights, God's promises and covenant, for granted. He had other interests. The God of the belly. Mixture. Two masters. Scriptures say you're going to love one, you're going to hate the other, and became defiled. And there are many within the congregations of the Lord today, just like Esau, that have sold their birthrights to satisfy their flesh, spiritually speaking, and are considered the spiritual bastards of this day. Others, because of sin and various unresolved issues, refuse to lack the knowledge to repent. They live by the flesh and are a testimony of their rebellion. These are the spiritual bastards of this day. You must forgive your fathers. The spiritual bastards of this day are selling out to many of man-made traditions. And we must pray that God will be able to touch the heart and bless these people to come into the truth of God. In Genesis, the third chapter, we see the fall of Adam and Eve. And in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 7, it says here that the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden on the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Adam no longer was under the shadow of the Almighty. He had lost his divine overshadowing of God, and he and Eve dressed themselves in fig leaves. And as I mentioned last night, no doubt it was what was available to the naked eye, for we all know how sticky it is just picking figs. It is not the garment of choice. I can only imagine how those garments felt. But in sin, everything feels this way. Sin, shame feels this way. But even in separation, God called out to Adam, Adam, which is a story of love in separation. Boy, that just almost brought some bumps off about the binding thing. What followed was the separation and the loss of divine covenant to all mankind. Because Adam was our father, he became a spiritual bastard. So I believe that this is a picture of the bastardization of a whole people. But, some good news, through Christ Jesus, we have been restored and once again invited into the congregation of the Lord. God is making us alive through him, delivering us from the spiritual ancestral bastard curses that came through Adam by Jesus Christ. Amen? A bastard generational curse can remove us from God's umbrella of divine protection. In Psalms 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we're under the bastard curse, we're not under God's covering. We're out here. And so we have to be brought under his covering, so we have to break the curse. When we're under spiritual bastard curse, we are not under God's shadow of the Almighty. And when we're out here, then we're subject to everything that's out there can come into our spiritual gardens. God placed Adam in the garden to till the garden. And then after the fall, he placed the serpent out there to attack the earth, which is the flesh of man. So now God wants us to till these gardens. And how do we till them? With Jesus. Jesus' word. Jesus wants the fullness. We want the fullness of Jesus manifested in our spiritual garden. Okay, so there's some raking and plowing need to be done. Now, there's some characteristics that we can look for in a bastard curse. Some I mentioned earlier. Those are the result of born as a result of rape, fornication, adultery, incest. I've included in my little brief writing, test tube babies. and are born directly under the bastard curse. And I remember when Tashonda, my second granddaughter, was born, that while they were bonding in the hospital, and we were all present, her father, and I was happy to see that, I didn't have to step out there, you know. I was standing up there, and they wanted to take little Lexi down to the weight room, wherever they take babies at, so they can rebond with the nurses, you know. And they wouldn't let it happen. They fought. Daddy stood up there. I said, well, I don't need to say nothing else. I said, yeah, I'm buying that devil. You're right. That's right. Them doctors backed off, too. And so, because we knew automatically what was happening. They were in there bonding right after the birth, trying to bond up, you know, do things what mothers do and daddies do. And the doctor would say, take the baby away. No, not now. Yeah, we're going to bond first. Amen. She don't know a lot about what I'm doing, but she learned. She remembered that. And that's because God didn't want these type of curses to get resident in our granddaughter. Or have ability to remain resident anyway. So I believe that individuals that are born in from an ancestral mixture or rape or fornication, adultery outside of marriage, and test tube babies are born directly under the bastard curse, and they are left without proper covering at three levels: the Father's covering, Jesus Christ's covering, and the earthly father's covering. Now, God put that in my heart, gave me that. In fact, they will have this curse operating in their lives and the lives of their children, if not broken, in Jesus' name, for a minimum of 10 generations. Many individuals, such as myself, were children that were fathers whose fathers were sent away to war. My dad was sent to Korea and conceived before the marriage, and caused this curse to manifest in my life. Many marriages were the product of fornication that resulted in pregnancy, eventually leading to the marriage of the fornicators. So that doesn't correct it. I really want to stay here for about 20 minutes if I could. But they got some kind of way the demon come in and twist the scriptures there. I can only wonder how many family secrets on his wives have never been revealed, that many believers can repent and properly deal with the breaking of the bastard curse through confession, repentance, and deliverance. How many boyfriends and girlfriends married after the girls told them, I'm pregnant? I can tell you this, in this generation, not 60 years ago, every firstborn is suspect. Now, my father and daddy, they were just that kind of people. My mother and father were just that kind of people. They had the integrity to tell me that, you know, we were pregnant. Mama was pregnant before you were born. And when Daddy came back, then we got married. I don't think they told me out of shame, but I mean, they were married, so they didn't have to hide it from me. How many have never thought it was necessary because we married anyway? Why bring up the fact I was 3 weeks pregnant? 50% living together and not married. So I can tell you that. And this 60 years, when you go back to the 40s, I mean, it was kind of hands-off policy back then. I'm telling you, people. That's awesome. I hope you got that on tape. Carefully researched figures. So once again, in the last 60 years. Whew, that's good, huh? Teacher and being taught. I mean, this is good. This is church. That's church. Trying to help. Ooh, that's so good. Going back to the document. Word document, adding in another paragraph. I was talking with a sister today about how to type and write books. No, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's like confirmation. The anointing is moving. You know, if I was just to open it up, we'd probably go boom. You know, kind of hold it down. Having my own ancestral roots from West Africa, and under the circumstances of my own ancestors and forefathers who delivered my forefathers into the hands of those who trafficked in slaves, this would be considered a bastardization of a nation. The West African slaves were not the only nations I've grown to understand in the last year or so that were shipped down here. There are other groups that have been shipped down here in ships sicked and raped and totally manipulated. There are several bastardizations of nations in our country right now. So far we've looked at a bastardization of a people, a bastardization of a nation, and just, I've talked to several people here over the last couple of days, and some come as far as the USSR. Wow, man, look at, God is awesome. God's bringing these people from all over the world. I am so humbled. I'm serious. I am so humbled. I mean, but on my own personal level, which is a bastard curse on the personal level, my parents' marriage did not take place till after my conception. And so you have, prenatal rejection, rejection in the womb, rejection after conception, rejection after birth. And so you got all this thing was working in my life. And my father was in Korea, and I mentioned to you before, he was a prisoner of war, and he never mentioned a lot of things to me about when I was growing up. You know, they had a big article in the paper about 2 years ago. They went on the internet and found this guy in Beaumont, and the lieutenant that was his officer is now a general or something in the White House, or retired general, and they had brought him up to the House of Representatives to answer on some questions of some things that took place in war. And then he called my dad, and when that happened, it triggered something in the local press. And they found out all the medals he had. But he never would tell me. He just told me he was a prisoner, and he and this guy out of another city that they got out. And I say, well, how y'all got out? And he said, we just got out. And but anyway, but he's a good dad. My dad and my mom are good people. Don't get me wrong. Good people. And they served their country. And I don't have any problem with that. And I do support our president 100%. All right. 100%. I mean that, too. And I tell you, like I heard a guy say, he come by and visit our church, he said, I believe God is speaking through the bush. Amen. I believe it's prophetic and real right now. So I had the bastard curse working on me, of course. And no doubt I was conceived in a night, in a fling, you know, night out there. But this one sin act caused a lot of problems in my life, caused a lot of problems with bonding and various relationships. There was accountability issues. I didn't know if I wanted to be a male or a female growing up. I mean, it just depended on what crowd I was with. So that was homosexual and heterosexual tendencies floating in my mind. There was rejection. There were fears, a feeling of abandonment, a feeling of not being loved. My parents were wonderful, of course, but they didn't understand at the time of their sin, the consequences of their sin, and how it would affect their firstborn, which is myself. And so, they are good people, and they love me. Not last week, but week before last, I was with my mom, and I had to go to Brother Dean's, this would be 3 weeks ago before Brother Dean had taken ill for a season. And mom said, well, don't go yet. Let's have prayer. So I said, well, okay. So I had to sing like 4 or 5 songs. And then I had to preach. Then I had to run to Brother Dean's church. And my dad, when it's appropriate and the time is right, it depends on what the function is, he will always generally kiss me on my cheek. You know, so he gives me the Father's blessing. I never asked him for it, but I did stay in his face till I got it. Now, the other side of that issue is I have 3 children. I went and got... Because when I asked the Lord, I said, if I got any seed out there that I don't know about, then I need to know about it. Because I don't want to be an infidel. So all of a sudden, these children popped up in their teenage years. Mom said they wasn't mine. But I don't have no problem with them today. They know that I'm daddy. And no blood test is required, so it don't make me no difference no more. They in the will, they in the inheritance, everything. So it don't make no difference. But I only had one daughter with my last name. All right? And she was adopted. So there's no remembrance of me in the next generation. I have no sons with my last name because they took on the name last name of the mother. Okay? And my daughter just married, therefore there's no remembrance of me. Alright? Now in Job, the 18th chapter of Job, this gets so good I can just feel the anointing. Man. In Job, the 18th chapter, verse 16, my newest granddaughter's name is Catherine Elise. And she is so beautiful. Her and her husband just so, they're wonderful people. Hopefully I get them up here one day too. But I do have another grandchild, from my daughter-in-law. It says in Job 18:16, his roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth. and he shall have no name in the street. The words roots here, leaves, branches, and trees describe blessings and curses. It is plainly evident that the roots and branches are figurative, and they are used of the wicked, referring to his dying like a tree, he and his branches, his seed, being cut off. So there are several scriptures in the book of Job that refer to wicked men and their seed. In this day, like in centuries past, are many single-parent families with many illegitimate children. Many have several children within a single household with a number of the children with different fathers. Is not this one of the ways the bastard curse is carried out? Children born out of wedlock generally take on the mother's last name in this generation. We have a generation of bastards today that have their mother's last name. The fornicating father's branch, or the seed, has been cut off, and there's no remembrance. The sin, the curse of the bastard, is becoming far too common in our country. This draws spirits of homosexuality, prostitution, physical abuse, and often unreported or reported incest from relatives such as grandfathers, fathers, and brothers who previously also had this generational curse operating within their lives, and other characteristics to consider that may be operating within these individuals. And what I've seen in my own life and the life of those I've counseled with the bastard curse is a dull of hearing. They really don't, well, they hear what Dad says, but they really don't hear what Dad says, because there's an unresolved issue in their spiritual garden that has not been dealt with, because the church is now just now coming into the revelation of generational curses throughout our land. Amen? The word is going out, Larry Huff and a lot of other people. And so they're just now coming into the revelation. And so we have a generation of children today that have been distant from the Father's blessing. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read a prayer at the conclusion of this meeting on the Father's blessing. And if you don't have this little booklet, then I'm telling you, you're missing a warfare jewel that will help you and help those that you pray for many years to come. Because of the absence of the Father's participation in the family unit, many times the children are taught additional curses against the original father, and he's looked at as an infidel. He's not supporting the family. He don't come by like he should. He don't care about you, which from the scripture perspective in most cases is very much so. However, this is Father God's business, and we should leave the judgment up to him. But sadly to say, this is not the norm. A single parent is left defending herself, teaching her children how not to trust authority figures indirectly. That's why they can't submit to pastors. They can't submit nowhere, really. They just think they submitted. Because of not receiving the bonding of a father, his authority, and his blessings, we need to know that our fathers love us, not just because they love us because we did good in school. These individuals may lack, the descendants of the bastard curse may lack a discipline. They have received correction. However, it's nothing like having a correction that comes from the father. It's nothing like it. He is the spiritual appointed head of the family. In fact, many mothers experience the same bastard curse that have the same bastard curse upon their lives will forbid discipline of the father and challenge discipline being administered to the children in the home. This occurs very often in second marriages with stepfathers. Well, we don't do it this way. And so then there's a contention within the household. And it's led to many other divorces. My God. Those under the bastard curse may have a problem with making decisions. Because of the absence of the father, here go once again, Brother Jim, these individuals enter into a real world, or enter into the real world, and they never have experienced sound decision making. Simply having a father figure at home constantly making decisions would have ministered to this area of their lives. I need to go to this. I need to fix the air conditioner. I need to go do this. We need to have this. We're not going to go on vacation. We're going to save some more money. They don't see none of that. And we need to go to church. We need to pray. They don't see none of this. They become performance driven, seeking approval, spending a good part of their lives trying to improve themselves, rejected, needing acceptance because of the absence of the father role in the home. And please understand, all of these characteristics will, in most cases, be the way they view Father God. Because how they view their earthly father is, in generally, in most cases, going to be how they view Father God. Because how they receive the original bonding or relationship and discipline, how they handle the issues that they dealt with as children, and where they took them, is how they're going to appear to God. And most people, when we were children and we had issues that took place, we buried those issues, we swallowed them, we responded with hate and bitterness, and the next day we were playing with the same child again. So we never did take him to Father God. We never did take him to Father God. So those things need to be dealt with. Those individuals that are under the bastard curse, they're going to have a problem when it comes to order, God's order. Because there's no father's order that was in the home. And because there was no father's order in the home, order at God's house is seen as distant, and it seems as not relative to them. They have a problem with accountability, with submitting to authority. Now, on the other side, the performance side of their personality will give them the attention that is needed. Mine, and as I mentioned last night, was the god of sports. Then others that will become very smart and let you know they're smarter than everybody else. Some have very driven personalities, just drive, drive, drive type personalities. Some are very codependent, on the other hand. Others are slow to change when corrected and disciplined. And others just smother down and just burst. There's so many different variables and characteristics when it comes to the performance side of the personality of the bastard. Everyone can notice them. They want to be noticed. They want to draw attention to themselves. Remember the individual that comes to work late, what happens? He's noticed. Okay. Now, perhaps unconsciously, what's happening within is that Father God didn't notice me. So I'll get noticed one way or another. And so unfortunately, we also find the same pattern in many believers who continue to lack personal discipline in attending fellowship timely. We say 11, they say 11:40. And some are very consistent in being late because they have the spiritual bastard curse on them. And they're doing that to draw attention. So when they come in, everybody can see them. So the demon inside is saying, look, I have arrived. That's it. And so they're going to be late every Sunday. It don't make no difference. You can rebuke and preach on it, break the curtain. There's a demon because they don't know it's a demon saying, I need attention, so you need to see I'm here. So if you come early, nobody's going to notice you because you get a seat and everybody come around you. So I noticed that after pastoring a small congregation, off and on, small and big, but I noticed after pastoring a small congregation several years, I could not help but notice certain patterns that were operating in certain individuals' lives that have gone. The patterns operating within many of the lives were very similar. And please, I'm considering that my assessment here was about the testimony that they gave me before salvation. Several of them had a very minimal relationship with their fathers during their youth. They had very poor relationship with their stepfathers currently. Others had fathers in the home who were verbal or physical abusers. Some cases actually involved incest that was in our congregation. And all of these individuals, and I would never give names, but it's so clear to me. Every one of them had a problem with tardiness. Every one of them had an understanding, had a problem with getting to the deeper truth. They all had what we call spiritual prisons that would rise up when you try to bring just very minimal correction. Just, well, have you thought about so-and-so? Well, I don't think so-and-so. They put you in a prison right quick. Pow! And I said, man, I can't get through there. That prison's up. Pow! The gates went up just that quick. So they all had the gates. They all had the prisons. They all showed up on late all the time. They're all gone, by the way, too, now. Not that I want that, but they're all gone. During the early years, I did not have this revelation. And now I see the signs were ever so present. And I loved them all so very dearly. And yet, I don't think many of them could accept such a bonding that I was given. I don't think they could understand it. Because pastors, they shouldn't be, I guess, that kind of loving. There's got to be a trick to this thing. Or something, I guess. I don't know. But I noticed that they could not accept the bonding. It didn't matter what I did or whatever, as I look back over it. So when correction is ministered, these individuals may have a problem with correction. They had a problem with the direction from leadership. They had a problem with direction from spiritual heads. And most of them were the only ones that complained in the last 7 years of the pastoring. I passed along to that. But as I go back and look at the charts, and I look at the elders that came to me and said, Brother so-and-so said when you left, they didn't like what Brother Millett preached. Sister so-and-so said that she didn't like what so-and-so did, but you wasn't here, Pastor. And I can remember all the little statements. I said, but did you tell them to come speak with me? Did you handle the situation? Nobody did what they were supposed to do. I'm steady preaching leadership. All right, so anyway, I said, well, God, you must be trying to teach the church how to grow, and, you're sending us out so we can be more mature in the latter days, so that's fine with me how you do it. I said, but I did tell them, so the blood is not on my hands. And so so all of the complainers and the murmurers and the complainers left. That doesn't mean I want them to leave. I love them also, believe me. So that was a rejection of discipline, I believe, is a common characteristic of individuals under the bastard curse because of the spirit of offense. They get offended very easy. Very easy. And Brother Dean got to working on me very early in the early years, you know, because I come in there and I'm ready to work and do whatever he wants. And every time I did things that were contrary because I had a spiritual father that could speak to me, a pastor that I submitted to wholeheartedly. In other words, I trusted his judgment as my own until I was able to grow and make my own judgment. And that's what you do as leaders. And that's what you do as submitting to authority. You trust their judgments as your own. Some people can't do that because they didn't have a father. They had altars. And they had to destroy their father's altars. They took an altar in substitution of their father because they didn't have a relationship with the father. So, they may find it very difficult to become accountable to authority figures and spiritual authorities. The lack of the father role in the family unit has caused many to have a sense of instability. Therefore, when it concerns Father God and his appointed leadership, these positions of authority may be viewed as distant and insensitive ministry to their needs. They're not praying for Sister So-and-so. I think they ought to do more deliverance for Brother So-and-so. I think we ought to do something. Who are you? I mean, one time a demon manifested at a service in Beaumont, and the demon said, "You're just small fries." "I'm just small fries," whatever. But we're getting the job done. So, I mean, everybody got an idea how to make it better, huh? It's like frogs. If you have anybody eat frog legs? No, I know you don't eat no frog legs. You fry them in there, the muscles in there start restricting, they jump right out the pot. A bastard is most susceptible to become involved in other men's offenses. They did. What? What? You got to be kidding. She said, what? So they're most susceptible to that because they're looking for love in the wrong places. They want everybody's garbage in their life because they feel like their life is garbage anyway. I'm serious, I really feel that way. I had a self-belittlement. I put myself down. If I had to tell jokes and put myself down, whatever it takes. Today I only know two jokes. I was going to say one, I only know two. Because this guy at work, right before he retired, made me listen to it one day, and I didn't know he was telling me a joke until after he finished it. And the other one, I don't remember what it is, but I know it's two. I'm serious. Because I grew up in a family house where all they did was jokes. You know, I mean, it's a joke, you know. I mean, it's no big deal. They told my dad worked for a company, and engineers from Texas and A&M, and so they told Aggie jokes all the time. And one time he asked, that's the other one I know. He said, "Son, what do you do to an Aggie with a worn-out Aggie in a tree? How do you get about that tree?" I said, "Dad, I'm not going to get no worn-out Aggie out of no tree." He said, "You wave at him." I said, so that's the two I know. Well, I didn't tell you the other one, though. So anyway, I've been delivered from all them joking and all that mess, you know. I mean, we can have fun in the Lord. Repentance and forgiveness are necessary for restoration from this curse, people. A Bible generation is approximately 40 years. Therefore, the curse of the of 400 years is in the bastard curse unless someone breaks it in Jesus' name. The scripture says that for whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, as I mentioned earlier in Hebrews 12:6. But also in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, Paul writes to Timothy, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." The church here clearly will be filled with Esau in the last days, with birthright sellers, bastards who will do what they wish, not accountable to authority. This is what we're going to face in the last days. They're going to submit to their own flesh. They're going to be controlled by their own feelings and their appetites, cardinal, never growing and coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Definition, spiritual bastards. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord loves us greatly and greatly desires to deliver us. So if you've been a victim of this curse, or you're assisting someone that has this problem, and as I mentioned before, you're all firstborn a suspect in the last 60 years, Because there was no reason to tell you that mom and dad were 3 months pregnant. Why? I mean, I don't know why my parents told me, but maybe God told them he's going to be a preacher one day. So you're going to tell him, but you don't know why. I don't know. I don't know, but they told me. They ain't saying. I wasn't saying when it happened. Once the curse is identified, then you know that there's sin in the camp. The sin has got to be dealt with, and the sin has got to be dealt with not by the worker that's ministering, but by the individual. They have to repent, and you may have to work with them and to encourage them on repenting. Now, somewhere in the last 400 years, it's fairly evident that there could be have been a bastardization curse to be against your family line. I don't know this, but I do know that an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure later. And it sure won't hurt to go to a prayer and break the curses. Amen? And allow me to speak blessings over your family and over your seed. Amen? So would you repeat after me? Dear Lord, I believe in the whole scripture truth, the whole of God's revealed will, all that is sacrifice provided, all that is high priesthood covers. I confess that my redemption is complete and Satan's dominion over me is ended. I rebuke and renounce him as a liar, a false god. I forsake all allegiance to him. I worship the Lord, my God, and him only will I serve. I confess and repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me. Now, Lord, according to Leviticus 26, Nehemiah 1, and Daniel 9, I confess, repent of, and ask for forgiveness for the sins of my parents and my ancestors. I also ask that you would forgive me and cause my seed to forgive me if I have perpetrated any generational curses. I do this so the power of these curses can be broken over me and my family line in Jesus' name. I now take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I go back to Adam and Eve on both sides of my family line. I cut, sever, loose myself, my seed, all future seed from the bastard curse. In Jesus' name, I loose myself, my seed, all future seed, all curses resulting from my own sins and the sins of my forefathers, all ancestors. I break that curse in Jesus' name. I break the poverty curses. I break the incest curses. I break the illegitimacy curses. I break the whoredom curses. I break the idolatry curses. I break the curses. I return an evil for good. And I break the vagabond curses on my ancestors, on me, my seed, and my future seed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray. In Jesus' name, I bind all strong man, commanders, legions, ruler demons, lesser demons, servant demons, all of the underlying spirits, all of the co-hosts, all doorkeeper demons that have kept us and our family in bondage. All you foul spirits of the bastard curse are now bound, and I call your name and your family name, you're going to leave. So in Jesus' name, I command all the spirits that go all the way up the ancestral line back to Adam, all the way down to our seed and our future seed, all fornication, go in Jesus' name. Adultery, go in Jesus' name. Masculine women, go in Jesus' name. Effeminate men, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of abuse, go, verbal and physical, go in Jesus' name. Abusers of themselves with mankind, go in Jesus' name. Fears, go. Sensual spirits, go. Evil concupiscence, go. Inordinate affection, go in Jesus' name. Bastards tend to want to do that too. They're looking for love, so they'll get attached to cats and dogs and toys and everything. And they'll die for that thing if you take it away from them. in order and affection. You go in Jesus' name. Spirit of lasciviousness, you go in Jesus' name. All the women-hating spirits, man-hating spirits, God-hating spirits, go in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to bring the angels, send the warring angels to gather them up in chains and shackles, begin taking them to where you receive them, Lord Jesus. We just thank you right now for the covering of your blood over the congregation of the Lord. All of those spirits of filthy communications, you go in Jesus' name. You go, profanity, blasphemy, and obscene language. You go in Jesus' name. All you cursing demons, you go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Spirits of self-gratification, you go in Jesus' name. Homosexual and the Canaanite spirit, you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Spirits of lesbianism, go in Jesus' name. Get out of there. All the spirits of pornography, go JCPenney. Go Follies. Go Sears. Go all the enterprises, the Sunday morning papers, all the lingerie, all those demons. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. All spirits of exposure, uncleansedness, perversion and prostitution, you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. All lust and the passions, all fantasy lust, you go in Jesus' name. All spirits of occult sex, go in Jesus' name. Immorality, go in Jesus' name. Come out, all incest spirits. I break that power. You go, demons. Go, harlotry, rape, and frigidity. Go in Jesus' name. Now, all of the bad dreams there, you go in Jesus' name. All the spirits that take you back into the womb experience, dreams into the womb, into the birth canal, I rebuke that demon. You get out of your mind, you lying demon of the occult. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Spirit of drunkenness, drugs, come out of there. Come out of there. You go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Now, all the spirits of hate and distrust and hardness against the Father, hate and distrust and hardness against Father God, you go, you Pharaoh demon. You go in Jesus' name. You go. Leave us. I want it all out of me. Get out of there. Get out of the house. Every spirit, I break that curse of automatic family failure mechanism. I come against all dysfunctional family spirits in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. We break your power. All the spirits that have blocked our worship, you go in Jesus' name. Blocked our understanding, you go in Jesus' name. That have blocked our fellowship, you go in Jesus' name. All spirits of isolation, feeling abandoned, abandonment, you go in Jesus' name. Not a strong man of rejection, you go in Jesus' name. Dullness of hearing, you go in Jesus' name. You go. Spirit of being conceived in lust, go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Now all of the family familiar spirits, all the way from Adam all the way down, that family familiar spirit, you are destroyed in Jesus' name. Get out of the house. Get out of the house. Get out of the house in Jesus' name. All of those families, we have a familiar spirit now. His name is Jesus. You get out, demons. Get out of the house. You go in Jesus' name. Get out of there in Jesus' name. You get out of there in Jesus' name. What we saying? Hallelujah. And any others that God puts on your heart, we just continue to throw them out. Throw them out in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I, in Jesus' name, break the bastard curse over the families of God here. Back 10 generations on both sides of the family line, I command the bastard curse are broken, and I command the demons that came in behind the Baptist curse to leave us now. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. I command all remaining evil spirits, you go in Jesus' name. I break the bastard curse and all the way back to Adam. Now you go in Jesus' name. You go. I break the bastard curse due to the sins of the fathers back to Adam. You go now, all the demons that came in there. I break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you repeat after me? I'm free. And I'm blessed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for inviting me back into the congregation of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I invite my family and my seed into the congregation of the Lord. I now speak blessings over my family, my seed, and my future seed. Father, I bless the congregation of the Lord myself in Jesus' name. And Father, somewhere in the 10 generations, perhaps there could have been a bastard curse, and it has resulted into the generations, and it could have gone undetected in those 400 years. So therefore, I pray over the congregation of the Lord, and I speak the Father's blessing over each person present. My child, I love you. You are so special. You are a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to be a father to you. And I bless you with the healing of all wounds of rejection, neglect, and abuse that you have been suffering. I bless you with overflowing peace, the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give, a peace beyond comprehension. I bless your life with fruitfulness, good fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. I bless you with success. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with overflowing prosperity, enabling you to be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.